I'm gonna start at verse 41 this morning.
Verse 41.
And we're at the sixth letter of the Greek alphabet, which is Bob.
Sixth letter.
Everybody there?
Sorry, Father James, sorry, brother.
What does?
Psalm 119, verse 41.
What'd you say?
The sixth letter of that.
You said 21?
Hebrew alphabet here. Let's read it. Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherein to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in thy judgments. You know, I noticed in the scriptures here that salvation is never mentioned until verse 41. You know, go back and the word salvation never comes up. But I thought that's kind of unique here in the sixth. You know, salvation is for man. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us salvation is for fallen man. It's not for fallen angels. You know, they're doomed, I mean. But salvation, and here it is in the sixth word here. But I notice here, too, in the first three verses, it says, thy word, thy word, thy word. Mm-hmm. And the word salvation is Yeshua, or Yeshua means salvation. And I thought about John here, first chapter of John, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But there we have the Word mentioned three times.
Yeah.
Well, here we have the Word mentioned three times. And let's go on and read. It says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty and seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I love. My hands also will lift up thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. But going back to the word salvation, got a Hagin magazine this week. This one, his old teaching. I remember how he'd speak on the radio. Boy, I'm still hearing his voice.
Yeah.
But he's talking about full salvation. He says, the name of Jesus is salvation. Mm-hmm. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. And when we use the word salvation, because we have been trained that way, we usually think of remissions of sins and the new birth. But that is only a part of salvation. Mm-hmm. As far as you think, you're limiting God. Mm-hmm. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also the Greek. And then the Schofield, Dr. Schofield points out the full meaning of the word salvation is the following footnote reference. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew and Greek word for salvation implies the ideal of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Mm-hmm. Salvation is a great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. When God says salvation, he is talking about more than people realize. Mm-hmm. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to deliverance, mm-hmm. the power of God into safety, mm-hmm. the power of God into preservation, and the power of Christ into soundness, and the power of God into healing. Mm-hmm. But I noticed here too, this being 41 and salvation coming, and the Lord coming. But think how many days Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was tempted 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he defeated the enemy. You know, he's our deliverance, let's talk about. But I got thinking, salvation did not come. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm putting numbers together here. Yeah. But salvation don't show up until after 40. You know, think Jesus defeated, you know, the devil in the wilderness, you know, in 40 days. And, you know, the devil did everything he could do. He was a master liar, but, you know, he didn't have nothing on Jesus because Jesus is the truth.
The truth.
I am the way.
And the life.
The life. He didn't have a chance against him out there. But I want us to look at something. You know, the Bible talks about the heaven of salvation. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And, you know, Hebrews, I was reading in Hebrews. Hebrews warns us not to neglect such a great salvation.
Amen.
And, you know, it kind of implies, you know, being born again there. But, you know, Scofield says, you know, it's more to it than that. And, you know, how can we neglect, you know? Well, if we have sickness attacking us, mm-hmm. just keep our mouth shut. Don't say nothing.
Amen.
You know, that's one good way of neglecting. I say good way, that's a bad
that's
way
good.
Of, you know, but y'all know what I'm saying. Neglecting salvation, we don't need to do that.
No.
But Ephesians, let me find it. Let's start in 6 and 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we're talking about salvation here in the mind, you know, in inner thoughts, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And did we just mention supplication out of Scofield? In the Spirit and watching thereto with all perseverance. Did we mention that word? Mm-hmm. And supplications for all saints.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, guys, we need to watch out for one another, don't we?
Yeah.
And pray for one another. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, here a few years ago, it was back when Clinton was in office.
Yeah.
That they had this presidential, you know, where they speak to the nation, you know, like our president.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I remember Hillary Clinton setting up the audits there, and she had this young Marine, Lance Corporal. I'm going to go back to Marine Corporal, war story here, you know. Uh-huh. And this Lance Corporal, he, if I'm not mistaken, he was Haitian. And, anyway, I mean, we was at peace at that time, but for some reason, it may not have been Haiti, but it was either South America or those islands down there or somewhere. But this guy, this young Marine, he and the sergeant come up on these guys sitting on the porch, you know. And 10 guys and all of them sitting there with guns, you know. So anyway, this old sergeant, he got to asking them some questions, and this young man was interpreting for him. Well, anyway, them guys must not like the questions this old sergeant was asking, so they up and shot him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shot him there. Well, this Lance Corporal, you know, Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare are hardened, mighty through God.
Yeah.
Pulling down strong. Well, Lance Corporal, he just pulls that M16 up, they call it AR-15 now, clicks it out, boom, 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he takes them away, blows them away. And anyway, he, you know, they took him to the White House there. You know, he sat beside Hillary Clinton. But the point I'm saying is, you know, his buddy was in trouble there, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he disposed of the enemy for him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's the kind of the mindset, you know, the Bible kind of refers to a military mindset a lot of times, you know, in ways of damage, you know. You know, like Ephesians there, But that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Pray in the spirit and use the name of Jesus. You know, that's the big weapon. That's
yeah.
the big guns.
Uh-huh.
You
know?
But that's what we need to do. I want to share this with you, and it's kind of off subject, but how many of y'all remember last week's church service? And it just seems like something was a little bit just a, you know, notched up a notch or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or to me it did. But anyway, y'all remember the prophetess Cynthia, that's Tammy's buddy, has been having a prayer vigil
yeah.
things
mm-hmm.
here. Well, anyway, I've come the last couple of prayer vigil things, but she prophesied to pastor about this church becoming a gateway.
Mm.
And, anyway, you know, I kind of, you know, you put things in the back of your mind. But my sister-in-law, Don Hill, she come in last week, and she'll sit over there beside me. But she come in, she said her mind was kind of cluttered and, you know, just been busy this week. And, you know, how sometimes you'll come to church mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, the worship started. And she said she thought, Lord, I may start worshiping you. She says, she asked the Lord, she said, Lord, where am I at? And she said about that time she had an open vision that a light just beamed down on her. And this, the word of the Lord says, you're in the light. And she said, as she sat and watched this open vision, these lights were shooting from heaven unto the earth. And as she watched this vision unfold in front of her, it started shooting in different places in the United States. She could tell it was the United States by the form of it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, right at the end of the vision, she's seen this light shoot into our church.
Praise God.
So, I'm expecting good things to come.
Oh, yeah.
Man. You know, and I believe that just went right along with what Miss Cynthia spoke
mm-hmm.
over the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And let me refresh you, talking about the weapons and all. How many of y'all remember a couple weeks ago, pastor been up there at the end of the service, he was speaking on, you know, him overcoming that over the years, using the word
yeah.
to fight. And his little baby, Rhema, you know, went up there to him. I can't remember how it happened. Miss Becky gave it to him. But I remember Rhema, you know, him getting hold of her and hold her and walking around speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know what a Rhema is. A Rhema
yeah,
is a word from God
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
you do warfare with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, how God used that little kid,
oh,
baby.
She
won't come up
to confirm
and
it.
Pawpaw.
Confirm
she came
it.
Up on her own.
Yep,
yeah.
she came
yeah.
up on
her
own.
That's
confirmation.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Going to bear witness of God's word.
But I thought.
And I'm telling you, that's it, Brother David.
How God used just a two-year-old, one-year-old baby.
Listen, church, listen.
To show, hey, weapons of all warfare on the common.
Yeah.
They're mighty through God.
Can I add something to what
yes,
you were
ma'am.
Saying about what Prophetess Cynthia had said? Well, prior to what Prophetess Cynthia had said, God had brought the church to me in a dream at night, and he showed me that this church was just full, massive, massive of multitudes of people all in this church. And I was like, what the world is going on? This is strange. Why am I having this dream? And when I looked around, because Jim Jr. was over at the other church, but God had placed him here. He was getting ready to preach the gospel, but for some reason I saw a lot of black families. It was a lot of black families. And I was like, wow, what does this mean, Lord? What is this, you know? And I began to, you know, after I awake, because, you know, the dream, it just started transitioning to different things,
mm-hmm.
you know? And everybody was, you know, just coming in. Everybody was just, it was just flooded, you know what I'm saying? All of us, we were here. But it was a lot of more people just coming in. And so I said, well, what is this, Lord, after I awakened from the dream, you know? And he showed me increase in the kingdom. That this church is going to be the stepping stone. You know, because so much has been happening in the media, you know, blacks and whites, they just constantly battling against each other. But because prior to that, I was just praying that God would use us to be a bridge, mm-hmm. to show love that he's no respecter of a person, mm-hmm. and he's not discriminating at all. Mm-hmm. All, he said, the way that the world would know that we belong to him is by the way we love each other. So I started praying that we would, Lord, just be hallowed in our families, be hallowed in this church, be hallowed in our lives, be hallowed with in our worship, because we need to be loving, because the world keeps showing us on TV this division. And they constantly are saying,
it's not true.
I know. And it's so sad how they use that little guy, EJ. You know, and then you got his father is so angry, you know, and his is a real big target where, you know, it's like the whites, they just want to suppress us. And I was like, Lord, why can't we remember that that's in the past? This world is not like it used to be. There's no suppression. The blacks have far gone beyond what was back there, you know, and it's like, Lord, you said, you know, we can't go forward if we look back. You know, we got to go forward. And God said, we have to be the voice. We have to be the trumpet, the church. You know, I was like, Lord, use us. Mm-hmm. Let our church be the light. Let the world see that we are the sons and daughters of God. And we don't look at color.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. That's it. Amen. I'm telling you. And that's going on with that prophecy, because I was like, oh my God. And I told Sister Becky. Sister Becky said, oh, let it come.
A couple of weeks ago, during worship, in a vision, as we were, you know, praising and worshiping God, I saw beams of light hitting people's heads.
Wow.
Connected from heaven to the people in the congregation. You know, and then, you know, I don't know.
Those are the people that are truly worshiping God.
Okay.
Because I heard Billy Graham or somebody talked about that. That God showed them that.
Really?
Them lights are, you know, a lot of times you come to church and you got some mess on your mind.
Right. Yeah. You're not entering in.
Yeah.
We're supposed to get.
Yeah. Right. And that's what he said. Those are the ones that are really, you know, just seeking God. But I was listening to her yesterday, and I just caught the tail end of this, where she was saying, I don't know if it was Jesus or an angel sitting on a white horse. And she asked him, she said, what do you want? What are you doing? He said, I'm checking out my troops. He was at the church.
I'm
checking on my troops.
I got
chills. I'm checking on my troops. So them angels, she said, are going around on horses, and they're checking out the churches, you know, God's troops.
Yep.
Ready yourself.
You know, that's the Lord is good. He's ready to return.
Yeah.
He keeps telling me that.
He's ready, but the church has got to get. It's going to get in line. He's coming for a church without spot wrinkle. He's coming for a powerful church.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But he can do that a split second if he wants to.
I just know it's going to be soon. And he keeps saying that, and he said he's coming at the most, what's the word he used? At the not the precise moment, but the best moment, the most. People are coming in, people are going out, just like the 10 virgins, and he used the word strategic. He's coming at the most strategic moment. The time that he selected to be the most strategic, I don't know what that is, but I know it's soon. I know this too. The intensity is building. You know, the enemy is more desperate. Christ is about to come. His people are those who are sensitive, like David and Ray was talking about, how they sense the, you know, you're not going to be caught off guard because the Lord's, he's going to be teaching. You know he's coming. Kenneth Copeland said more and more. And that, you know, this season, he's coming back at a time that people don't think he's coming. Well, Kenneth Copeland prophesied that people don't think he's coming now.
And they mock it about it, too.
Yeah.
Just like the Lord said they would do.
Mm-hmm. That's something he prophesied many years. I still don't know about that. But anyway, the Lord through him said, just give me, you don't have to spend hours in prayer. Just give me some time in the morning and during the day and afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know, a few minutes here, a few minutes there. If my church would just do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get our heads set, well, we got to sit here and pray for 2 hours in the Spirit, which is fine if that's what God tells you to do. But he said, just give me some 5 minutes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it's important, praying in the Spirit, that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we can all be encouraged to pray, you know, 2 or 3 minutes in the morning here, other than our prayer time. But don't condemn yourself if you don't have 2 hours to pray.
Yeah.
Him and Groover said something on that note.
Just to pray and communally and constantly. And just like, who was it he was talking about? I think it was Hagin. And anyway, he said, it was Andrew Womack. He said, when he got in his book about prayer, A Better Way to Pray, he was talking about, you know, he thought, because he was really, really strict as far as his religion. You know, you got to sit there and pray, and it's got to do this and do this mm-hmm. and do that. And anyway, he said, this guy that was doing the things about praying an hour every day, that was doing the seminar all the time. You remember who?
Remember
him? He come up to him and he said, how much do you pray a day? Like he was going to say, you know what he said? He said, I pray all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer's communion with God. Mm-hmm. I commune with God all day long. He said that guy dropped his mouth. He didn't know how to respond to that.
He was doing the works, but he told me he was God all day.
And I thought, what a beautiful way to say it. I commune with God all day long. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
You know, you don't come against people. If God told you to sit down and pray in the Spirit an hour, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know when it's not from God, but you can, they start saying, I do this. Yes. And
I thought that was so pretty. Just you pray all day long, because all it is communion with God.
Communion with the Lord. That's what I do. I'm always asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live in this presence. That's what I wanted to do years ago.
Live in his presence.
To live in his presence.
Lord,
you was here Wednesday night, weren't you? That's kind of in line with what Pastor Jim Jr. was saying. He said, God is with you everywhere.
Yeah.
He's with you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the child of God is going to stay mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because even an attack came against me in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like wanting to react the way I wanted to. But because of being in the church and being encouraged, nobody knew, but the somebodies, they're sensitive, the true seeker, Sister Stephanie, what's going on? You know, I was hurting, but I refused to let, see, remember, Brother Thurston, you closed out. Paul said that he was angry. He was, in his mind, he was angry, but his heart was receptive.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I was fighting.
Uh-huh.
I said, that's my word.
Yeah.
I'm angry, but my heart is receptive. I need this word, and I can't let that devil put me in bondage. Uh-huh.
That's why you have to say, build up in him.
Yeah.
Like when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I got back to God. I was in Baptist church, but they weren't believers in that way by no means. Well, I'm kind of naive anyway, and I was teaching an older ladies class, but you know, I went exactly by the book, all Baptist book. I loved to learn a lot of Old Testament and all like that. And we had a Wednesday night, and somehow people were starting with something about praying in the Spirit, and I said, well, I do that, because I was coming against it. I just, well, I do that? You know, I had been praying. And they would come to me
and said, "We thought you would resign." I said, "Resign?" He said, "Yeah, them ladies, some of them told me that you're teaching about praying in the spirit and all that." I was doing Old Testament, one for one, exactly like the book. And I was shocked. But you know, I was so full of God, it didn't bother me. And the next Sunday, yes, when they thought I'd leave or something, because, you know, they come and ask me to resign. They thought I would resign. I didn't know I was supposed to, you know.
You didn't even know you was.
God came and sat down next to me that next Sunday in that church, Buddy. And I'd always kind of done this, but, Buddy, I was free beyond free. And I stayed in that church until God moved us to Victor Christian Fellowship. Uh-huh. Well, a miracle, it didn't bother Dick. I mean, you know, men can be. But you know, to me, that's one of the greatest moments in I have many spiritual life, was when God sat down next to me the next Sunday, because it didn't bother me a bit.
But it was a witness to the other lady.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't get to teach, but and then I heard people tell me, several, "We did you wrong." You know, it come back later. But you know what was the key? I was in His presence a whole lot.
Glory to God.
I was in His presence.
Flesh can't get it.
And that flesh wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I call that when that flesh is there, just being Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's supernatural Mary. There's Mary that kind of knows right from wrong and chooses the right. There's supernatural Mary that it don't bother until it's fine. Mm-hmm. Then that if you get kind of drained out, it's like Mary that will decide not to do it and don't do it. And then there's Mary that just lets you have it.
Wow.
And you know what the key is? In His presence.
Yes.
Staying in His presence.
Yes.
Staying in His word.
Walking in love.
Yes. Walking in love.
But when you stay in His presence, you're going to walk in love.
Yes.
True.
That's the key.
That's
everything
it.
We do. I was mentioning a few, a week or so ago, how.
And then I stayed like 3 years in that church. Until Dick, and I visit here when I get the old church here.
Yeah.
And then who took us to Victor Christian Fellowship in Hillview? My husband.
Yeah.
Look at God.
See what?
What are you doing?
When I first came here, the Lord told me everybody to come to this church and join, they got promoted.
What?
First Sunday I came here, He said, everybody to come to this church and join, they got promoted.
Amen. Oh, what a good
question. I know that's true. I totally agree with that. I totally can't.
And I don't say that lightly. That is
promoted.
That's a word from the Lord.
Thank you.
He told me that. I said, I know, but you're right. when I talk to people about walking in love, sometimes you can see their countenance drop. And one lady, she said, "It's just hard. Everything that Jesus tell you to do is hard, very hard, unless you do it in Him."
Woo, glory, amen. That's the key. Then it's easy, isn't it?
Yes.
Very. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he used two extremes. He knew how to be abased, and he knew how to abound.
Thank you.
There are people that know how to be a base, but they just don't know how to abound.
Right.
Let's say a person that know how to survive. If you pay all their bills and give them much more than enough money to live off, they'll mess it up because they don't know how to abound.
That's right.
There are people that know how to abound, but they don't know how to be a base. If you take everything they had, they don't know how to recover. But if you give them something, they know how to maintain it. But Paul had two extremes. Now, that's not easy to accomplish for anybody, because your habit system, the way you think, the way you reason. If you give a man something and he don't have vision for it, the way he reasons is he's going to level it out to where he's used to. He'll mess it up. People that win the lottery, for instance, and then right back up in debt in a short amount of time.
More so because they'll spend more than they get a big amount of money.
Well, they use the same mindset to do what they were doing.
Instead of changing who they are.
Yeah, you